What's up, guys? Welcome back to the RCT Network. I apologize that I did not post a podcast episode last week. I actually sat down and had probably, I don't know, three different shows planned out. But with these shows comes a lot of research. There was a lot of big stories last week and plenty of things I could have talked about. In fact, I actually recorded about a 45-minute episode and didn't post it, because I started to, I don't even know where to start with this. Look, I have a major, I don't even want to say to expose. I'm going to leave that up to you guys. But something that could be pretty breaking, in my opinion. And it's kind of overwhelming. And it relates to the 2020 election. It relates to Donald Trump, which was a big story last week. We all saw Donald Trump go into the Fulton County jailhouse and get his mugshot taken. And as you are now seeing, I think it's a huge miscalculation by the Democrats, because it's now like the most circulated image probably in the history of the world. And everyone seems to love it. I think it's great, to be honest with you. But I kind of went down a rabbit hole. Now, I wanted to avoid the term rabbit hole, because people often kind of correlate that with conspiracy. I think my findings are no conspiracy, because my findings are from actual financial reports that were submitted by these organizations themselves. And it exposes a lot. It exposes a lot with things that we all knew was going on, but what it does show is who backed it. We all think that, and have been under the impression, I think, that social media sites like Twitter and Facebook, rightly so, have been blamed for, you know, suppression of the Republicans during the 2020 election for a whole plethora of reasons. And the Twitter files kind of showed that. However, no blame has been put on the actual organizations that were behind issues with the 2020 election. I'm going to go through that. Now, I did an episode 2 weeks ago on unions, right, with the whole UAW strike that has just been approved, by the way, and the whole Teamsters deal with the Yellow Corp. And if you were paying attention to the Republican debate, they talked about, you know, defunding. Sorry, I'm moving my mic here. They talked about defunding the teachers union. I took a lot of shit for talking bad about the unions. In my YouTube video, I mean, I got hammered. I don't care. Everything I still said stands. And in this video, I'm about to not double down, but quadruple down on the accusations I made with these unions. And not only am I going to quadruple down on what I said, I'm about to expose information that is public information, by the way, but no one has seemed to want to take a deep dive into this, because everyone wants to support these unions, because, you know, a lot of people that are belong to unions have benefited from, and that's fine. But from my angle, I'm not looking at the people benefiting, not benefiting. I'm looking at, where is this money going? Is it really being used appropriately? And why do the Democrats keep pushing the union deal? Now, I apologize if I'm kind of everywhere here. I'm still working on this, and I'll probably do multiple episodes this week putting a lot of this information together. And if someone wants to help me with this, please, because it is very overwhelming. There's a lot of data that I have, and I will put my email in the description for this podcast. You can reach out. You can help me. And I can show you one. I need help telling this story. But we're going to start with the NEA. And I've only gone through the NEA. Haven't really finished going through the NEA. And I've started on the AFL-CIO. But from what I've seen so far, it's just extremely telling. Now, You can start, you go on unionfacts.com, I think it is, and they have all the unions listed, and you see all their spending, usually from years, you know, 2021, 2022, so some of the recent spending. I went a little further, and I actually went to the Department of Labor, looked up their financial statements for the headquarters. This is just for the national form of the NEA, not the, all its local chapters, just the national chapter, the headquarters in Washington, D.C., I think it is, and looked at their actual spending. And I went back to 2020 and late 2019. And I wanted to see, because on Union Facts, it said that like 73% of political contributions was made to the Democratic Party from the NEA, and about, you know, 30%, I think it was, went to the Republican Party. Now, the AFT, the American Federation of Teachers, is like 96% in favor of the Democratic Party. The AFL-CIO, again, is 93% in favor of the Democratic Party. All of the political contributions are basically going to the Democrats. But then I began to wonder, they have all this other spending. What about representational activities? Now, representational activities are supposed to be activities like paying lawyers for bargaining, you know, litigation stuff, like for the purpose of the union and negotiating on behalf of the union members for better contracts, work, all that collective bargaining stuff that unions do, right? The majority of union spending, by the way, does not go to that. You would think it would, because the whole purpose of a union is to collectively bargain for its members. The majority of spending, actually, the largest portion, goes towards political contributions, and then for the NEA, it goes towards grants and gifts and stuff like that. Now, these grants and gifts, you would think, would go towards like scholarship funds or grants. A lot of the grants would go to schools for like school improvements. That's what you would think this stuff would go to, something related to the school system. Well, what I found is maybe the reported amount of political contributions, 30% for the NEA roughly went to the Republican Party. But it was a very small amount, maybe a couple million dollars. They spent $45 million on the Democratic Party the year of the election. Or sorry, $63 million on the year of the election, 2020, towards the Democratic Party. Most of their contributions, like over 90%, went towards the Democrats. However, that's only for political contributions. That is only what they stated and actually admitted to funding. What I found is that out of $119 million, roughly, or so, of the grants that they gave out, another 20 to 30 million of those went towards political funding of the presidential, general election, and state elections for the Democratic Party. And guess where most of it was spent? Most of it was given to nonprofits focused on voter registration and mail-in ballot voting. When I say the NEA and the AFL-CIO spent hundreds of millions of dollars between late 2019 and up to the November 3rd, 2020 on mail-in ballot voting and voter registration and towards different organizations that are involved with creating narratives. Like, I have one website pulled up, and they literally have a whole outline of how to speak to the people when you're trying to get them to register to vote and submit mail-in ballots. State, you know, saying things like black and people of color and stuff like that, instead of all people, you know, by separating races, by making people feel like they're, you know, kind of being put down. Like, this whole, I'm going to put all the, I'll put as much as I can in this description. Like, it's ridiculous. The amount of money, the amount of time into the organizations that these labor unions are funding the Democratic Party indirectly and directly is substantial. When I say that, yeah, maybe only 16% of the AFL CIO's money they spent in 2020 was reported for political contributions. The reality is, in all of their other spending, you're probably talking about 30 to 40% of the money they spend goes to the Democratic Party or is focused on winning elections for the Democratic Party. I have organizations written down here just to give you an idea. The NEA, National Education Association, spending grants, these are just a couple. $2.5 million given to an organization called the For Our Future Action Fund. Now, this has a P.O. box address of 15845 Washington, D.C. And it's itemized as a contribution and national partnership grant. So they're taking money that is coming from members. The hardworking teachers paying these dues in the union. They're taking their money and they all that money, a lot of it goes towards grants. Their grants aren't going back to the school system. It's not going back to help kids. It's not going back to help teachers. It's going to fund things like this For Our Future Action Fund. This organization uses a system to identify the most effective way to reach voters using direct contact, social media, and advertising campaigns. And they have a goal of going around communities attempting to garner votes in favor of climate change, racial justice, and support for migrant communities. It is a Democratic PAC, political action campaign or committee. You would say, well, whatever, right? Well, this organization was founded in 2016, just 4 years prior to the 2020 election. And the address that the NEA has on file is not used by the organization. In fact, that address that I listed, that P.O. box, is used by Grapevine, which is a website that is dedicated to connecting a plethora of different nonprofits, mostly left-leaning nonprofits and political action committees, to potential donors. So you can't even tell where that $2.5 million actually went. The For Our Future Action Fund, as far as I could see when I went and did my research, has never used that P.O. box. They have their own address. And so they actually send that money to Grapevine. Now, some of the political, so the NEA, let's go to this. With their employees, the unions have employees, right? The NEA had 51 employees that were paid solely for lobbying purposes, which means you can go on their financial report and see that they paid 51 people and 100% of their pay was dedicated for lobbying purposes. This does not include the $61 million recorded for lobbying donations. This actually is included in union overhead. The personal lobbying employee salary total was $6,906,387 in 2022. And the average political lobbying employee was paid $135,438. The highest was Mary Custer, who's a senior director, was paid $252,551. 100% of it was to do political lobbying activities. They have people, so literally 51 employees being paid by the members, the hardworking teachers, through the dues that they pay the NEA. The NEA takes it and pays 51 people on their staff, like 2 to 3 times more than the average teacher makes, to go and lobby in favor of the Democratic Party. As far as representational activities, under representational activities, what I saw, and under the grants they were giving out, is, and now representational activities, let me go back, is only supposed to be for things like collective bargaining and fighting for union members. The NEA gave things like the Alabama Education Association, legislative advocacy grants. They gave another organization, Ballot Ready, a Democrat organization focused on the promotion of Democratic voting. Not Democratic as in the system of Democratic voting, Democratic as in the Democratic Party. $90,500. Another firm called BMK Consulting, which develops and executes political and social policy changes in favor of Democrats. $78,000. Gender Inclusivity LLC. They gave $62,600 for. This organization is owned by Debbie Jackson, who's also a Marxist. You have the American Viewpoint, which is a political research polling. $44,000. The Arizona Education Association, for the purpose of political ballot initiatives support grants. $360,000. Now, what this was, the timing of this, was to get ballot initiatives to support mail-in ballot voting in the general and state elections. They also gave funding to the GBOA, which is political analyst, $30,000. They gave Clarity Campaign Labs, a progressive political polling and modeling focused on how to get Democrats elected, $234,815 in September of 2021 for supposed research services. Ballot Initiative Strategy Center, a progressive organization pushing ballot measures and focusing on minority and other groups and their voting, they give them $180,000. Again, I have a lot of these data points. I'm just trying to throw out examples and bring this all together. It's going to take me a while, like multiple episodes, to really get, you know, get you the idea of what I'm showing you. What I've also found. So on 11/16/2019, the NEA gave $225,000 to a Fair Fight Action Incorporated. It's listed as a nonpartisan voter engagement. However, the organization was founded by Stacey Abrams and focuses on election reform and voter turnout in electing progressive leaders in Georgia. On March 27, 2020, the NEA gave the Faith in Minnesota, a nonprofit government campaign funding, and GOVT, sorry, it's not government, it's GOVT campaign funding, which is, let me go to, it's a Get Out and Vote campaign. And that is a $400,000 contribution. And this organization states that it tailors research to energize and persuade a multiracial cohort to vote progressive candidates and policies. They also have something called Project Keystone. Now, I've tried to look up what Project Keystone is. There's no website going towards Project Keystone. What I did find, though, is kind of a website that links these nonprofits. And what it is Project Keystone is linked to the NEA and also something called the Strategic Victory Fund, which is also funded by the AFL-CIO. And then there's another one called Proteus Action League. And what I'm finding is the NEA will actually donate to things like this Project Keystone, the Strategic Victory Fund, and Proteus Action League, sorry. And a lot of this was going towards the state of Pennsylvania and nonprofits in the state of Pennsylvania. And they're basically taking the money given to them by the NEA, washing it into another nonprofit organization, which would take that money and give it to another nonprofit organization, kind of like shell company after shell company after shell company after shell company. And it either went back to the NEA or it went into measures of pushing, organizations that push mail-in ballot voting. Furthermore, the NEA gave a substantial amount of money towards printing services that were focused on either printing communications based in favor of the Democrats to be directly mailed out to people in the state of Georgia, and basically had a company called Renaissance Campaigns, which they gave $161,000 to. And their whole goal, Renaissance Campaigns, is to reach voters by mail in key states such as Georgia, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, and they're focused on reaching the black community. This is per their own website, by the way. And on 8/26, the NEA gave $946,747 to Waterfront Strategies. Waterfront Strategies, you need to go look that up. But basically is the like one of the major campaign consultants for Democrats in Washington, D.C. 9/13/2019, the NEA gave a grant to the Advancement Project, also who received money from the AFL-CIO, by the way, for $150,000 for a radical voter rights and and racial justice group. It's a radical voter rights and racial justice group. Everything I'm reading, by the way, I got from the websites of these organizations. I'm not making any of this up. This is literal direct writing on all the websites and them their own description of themselves. $280,000 they gave to the Democracy Alliance, founded for the goal of changing voting laws and expanding the electoral map to ensure Democrat victory. It's also a Marxist organization. Now it gets deeper. That is just a handful of the examples that the NEA gave significant funds to promote or try and push mail-in ballot voting in certain states like Georgia. Georgia's the big one. The other one, sorry, I wanted to go back. There's another one called... So on 11/15/2019, the NEA gave When We All Vote, it's an organization, $200,000. On 10/16/2020, the NEA gave them another $150,000 for strategic planning and program development, an organization called When We All Vote. It's listed as a nonpartisan nonprofit that focuses on changing the culture around voting and reached more than 100 million people to educate them about voting and get them registered to vote. This organization is not nonpartisan. This organization was started by Michelle Obama and partnered or co-chaired with Tom Hanks, Megan Rapinoe, Steph Curry, Selena Gomez, and J-Lo, and other Democratic or progressive celebrities. You can go and look at, you know, go type in what nonprofits has Michelle Obama started. That organization will not come up. But if you go to that organization's website, it tells you on that website, it was started and founded by Michelle Obama. And all of these celebrities are sitting on the chair of the organization. It's crazy what was going on here. You can think George Soros funded most of this. Maybe so. He may have been a big backer, but the unions, the worker unions in the United States are the primary funding because they can get funding from the unions in the form of different kinds of contributions, and they can hide it. If one person like George Soros goes in there, it's going to be like a big red flag. They're washing this money through labor unions, and they're getting the funding from the dues paid by members. By the way, the AFL-CIO generally has a split of 60-40 in favor of Democrats and Republicans for their members, but 93% of all their spending goes to the Democratic Party. Now, the AFL-CIO originally, back in the beginning of the 1900s, was a staunch anti-communist organization. Could not stand them. However, in 1995, John Sweeney took over, and he previously led the SEIU, Service Employees International Union, and he, as along with other high members of the SEIU, came over to run the AFL-CIO. Now, John Sweeney was a member of the Democratic Socialists of America. And since taking over, the AFL-CIO has put over 93% of its political spending towards the Democratic Party and far less far left progressive agendas, even though, again, the union does not represent that kind of split. It is not in favor of 93% of the Democrats. It's about a 60-40 split with its members. So they're taking member dues and funding in favor of the Democrats, again, even though that's not in representation of their members. For representational activities, the funding a substantial amount towards GOTV campaigns, which is get out to vote campaigns in 2020, which focused around the attempt to register voters and then getting them to vote by absentee ballots. You can go look on Google, get out to vote campaigns, and this is what comes up. Remember that Joe Biden won more than 75% of mail-in votes. There is a major rabbit hole to go down here. The NEA and the AFL-CIO and the AFT, along with the majority of other labor unions, are funding very radical groups. And if you actually go and you look at a lot of the organizations they give money to, they're these nonprofits, and they'll use PO boxes. Go for yourself and look up the PO boxes and who owns the PO boxes. A lot of times you will find that it belongs to some random person. And it's in a lot. There's the AFL-CIO has one. The main organization that they gave money to is called Allied Organization out of Washington, D.C., using a PO box. Go type in Allied Organization on Google in Washington, D.C. The first thing that comes up is the New Black Panther Party, the NBPP. And the New Black Panther Party nowhere has any kind of mailing address listed. What you're seeing is with public information, by the way, you can actually go and you can actually track back where all the money and where all the influence came to pushing mail-in ballot voting in the 2020 election. One has to wonder if all that money is being spent under the table for one type of voting, then they would have to be certain that they are going to get some sort of benefit from that style of voting. Again, I said Biden won, according to the Inquirer and other sources, around 75% of the mail-in ballot votes. That is not a good, I'm trying to think about how to say this. Biden didn't win 75% of the popular vote. Statistically speaking, the number of votes popular-wise that Joe Biden won, you should have theoretically seen around the same for different voting styles, right? You would think. I don't know. They say that Trump voters tended to vote early in person, maybe so, but it couldn't be that big of a difference. It couldn't be that, you know, if Biden won 51% of the popular vote and he won 75% or more than 75% of mail-in ballot votes, doesn't add up. And then you see the kind of money that was funded directly to the Democratic Party or for Democrat initiatives and radical voter change in key states like Georgia, Pennsylvania, and Arizona, things start to really add up. And I think that with these indictments that Trump is going through, if his attorneys should go and start investigating and taking a huge dive, a lot deeper dive than I'm capable of, because they'll have more resources, into these labor unions and exposing these shell nonprofit organizations that get substantial amount of funds from the poor working people that don't even support most of this stuff, to trace it back. That's where they're going to find their proof and their evidence. But no one wants to investigate this because everyone wants to be in favor of the unions, because if you're against the unions, you're against the poor workers, right? No. Because the unions, I'm sorry, don't do what's best for the workers, and I already talked about this, and I've received a lot of shit about this. I'm just telling you like it is. Unions, okay, are not that good entity anymore. They're not doing what you think they're doing. they're causing problems in the economy, and they are pushing and having substantial control over our electorate. And it's a major problem. Now, I'm going to keep doing research and diving into this. And so when I come back tomorrow or the next day, the next episode, we'll have more details, because there's so much more information that I already have. I'm just trying. It's so hard to piece a lot of this together. And it's so overwhelming and it's so mind-blowing. I mean, hundreds of different organizations they funded via union overhead, union administration, direct payments to employees, direct payments for political lobbying, whatever, that actually didn't go towards what they said it went towards. It went towards other organizations. And this isn't made up. Like, this is hardcore fact. You can go and look it up yourself. I'll put some of the links in the description for the episode. Don't discredit what I'm telling you, because I'm being truthful. It's all right there.